I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So you see, the joy came to me when they said, let us go. You didn't have to wait till you arrived. Like I said, I was just glad when they said. So no matter what the weather, no matter how much it's raining outside, no matter what the weather forecast says, I was happy driving through it because I was glad just because they said that we were going to the place where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ abides. So good morning, Taylor Nation. Good morning, family. Good morning, friends. Those of you who are streaming live over Facebook and YouTube, those of us who have joined us in the sanctuary, I greet you in our Lord and Savior's name, Jesus Christ, where we are streaming live from West Philadelphia, where the elder Jonathan E. Ford is our pastor. Amen. So I will invite everyone who can to please stand on their feet as we open with our prayer. Following our prayer, I will be reading our morning scripture, which will be coming from Psalms 56, verses 9 through 13. Again, the scripture will be coming from Psalms 56, verses 9 through 13. Let us pray. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, your name is worthy to be praised. Our Father and our God, we just thank you for blessing us to see the wonderful works of your creation for another day. We stand in awe for what we are when we compare ourselves to your majesty. We are a lost people that are in need to be found. We are dead men walking that need to be made alive. We are sinners in need of a Savior. So we come to you, Lord. We come to you broken. We come to you beaten. We come to you tired, and we come to you stressed. We come to you because you are the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. So it is in you that we put our trust. So no matter what the circumstance, no matter where we are in the storms of life, we know that you are greater than any situation that we find ourselves in. So we lift up to you all of our problems. We lift up to you everyone who we love. We lift up to you everyone we care for. And we ask that you bless them. And Lord, meet their needs. Lord, we commit this day to you and ask that you go before us. Let your Holy Spirit guide us in the ways we should go. All these blessings we ask in the name of the only begotten, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. And I ask that you continue standing in reverence to God's word as we read Psalms chapter 56, verses 9 through 13. My enemies will retreat when I call to you for help. This I know, God is on my side. I praise God for what he has promised. Yes, I praise the Lord for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? I will fulfill my vows to you, O God, and will offer a sacrifice of thanks for your help. For you have rescued me from death. You have kept my feet from slipping. So now I can walk in your presence, O God, in your life-giving light. Amen? Amen. And at this time, we will have a sermonic selection by Brother Derek Rush. And then the next voice you will hear is that of our pastor, Elder Jonathan E. Ford. Thank you.
Good morning, church. I thank you again for having me once more for the praise experience. And if you follow my routine, if you remember when I first came, I sang clean up when I messed up. Then I sang, He keeps on blessing me. This one is entitled, Everybody Clap Your Hands. And if you follow that pattern, you'll feel like I do about these songs. We praise you, O Lord. We magnify your name. We worship you, O Lord. We magnify your name. We worship you, O Lord. We magnify your name. We worship you, O Lord. We magnify your name. Oh, everybody, clap your hands. 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 This is the way we praise Him. Clap your hands. This is the way we praise Him. Clap your hands. This is the way we praise you. Clap your hands. This is the way we praise you. Clap your, oh Lord. We magnify your name. We worship you, O Lord. We magnify your name. We worship you, O Lord. We magnify your name. We worship you, O Lord. We magnify your name. Oh, everybody, clap your hands. Everybody, clap your hands. Oh, everybody, clap your hands. Everybody, clap your hands. Oh, everybody, clap your hands. Everybody, clap your hands. Everybody, clap your hands. Everybody, clap your hands. Lifting our voice. Singing our song. Praising the Lord all the day long. Lifting our voice, singing our song. Praising the Lord all the day long. Oh, everybody, clap your hands. Oh, everybody, clap your hands. Oh, everybody, clap your hands. Everybody, clap your hands. This is the way we praise Him. Clap your hands. This is the way we praise you. Clap your hands. This is the way we praise you. Clap your hands. This is the way we praise you. Clap your hands. This is the way we praise you. Thank you.
Good morning, and God bless you. Hey, we're going to go immediately to the Word of God. So if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in the Old Testament, the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. Very familiar story. I invite you to turn there with me. It's the story of the Shittimite woman. Again, the Old Testament, the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. And we'll begin reading at verse 8. It says, "Now it happened one day that Elijah went to Shunem. And it was there that lived a notable woman. She persuaded him to eat some food. And so it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat food. She said to her husband, 'Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, a table, a chair, a lampstand. And so it will be, whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there.' And it happened that one day that he came there. In fact, he turned into the upper room and lay down there. And then he, being the prophet, said to Gehazi, his servant, 'Call this Shunammite woman.' And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, 'Say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all of this great care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king, or perhaps to the commander of his army?' She answered, 'I dwell among my own people.' And so he said, 'What then is to be done for her?' And Gehazi answered, he said, 'Actually, she has no son, and her husband is old.' And so he said, 'Call her.' And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And then he said, 'At about this time next year, you shall embrace a son.' She said, 'No, my lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant.' But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her." Verse 18, "The child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father and to the reapers. And he said to his father, 'My head, my head.' And so he said to his servant, 'Carry him to his mother.' And we had taken him and brought him to his mother. He sat on her knees till about noon. And then he died. She went up. She laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door behind him, and went out. And then she called to her husband and said, 'Please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come back.' And so he said, 'Why are you going to see him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath.' She said, 'It is well.' Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, 'Drive and go forward, and do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you.' And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. And so it was, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to his servant Gehazi, 'Look, the Shunammite woman. Please run down to meet her. Say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? And is it well also with your son?' And she answered, 'It is well.' And now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, 'Let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me.' And so she said, 'Did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me?' So then the man of God said to Gehazi, 'Get yourself ready. Take my staff in your hand. Be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet them. And if anyone greets you, do not
do not give a reply, but lay my staff on the face of the child. The mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not depart from you. So the man of God arose and followed her. Verse 31, now Gehazi went ahead and laid the staff on the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. And therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, the child has not awakened. When Elijah came into the house, there was the child lying on his bed. He went in therefore and he shut the door behind the two of them and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child, put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands, and he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned, he walked back and forth in the house, and again went up, stretched himself out on him. And then the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And then he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite woman. And so he called her. And when she came in to him, he said, pick up your son. And so she went in. She fell at his feet, bowed down to the ground. And then she picked up her son and went out. Amen. This morning, I want to talk about the Shunammite woman. Now, we've covered a lot of ground in this passage, and I don't intend to drop down into detail into all of it, but I do want to point out 4 key areas. I got 4 bullet points to my sermon. And concerning the Shunammite woman, first, I want to talk about her hospitality. That's her gift. Then I want to talk about her hopelessness. That was her future. Then I want to talk about her helplessness. That was her current situation. And then last and finally, I want to talk about her happiness, which was her reward from the Lord. Amen. Can you handle all of that? If you can handle it, say, I can handle it. Now unto him that is able to alone present us faultless before the Father and his holy angels. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would come in now. Ask that you would amplify your word, not only in our hearing, but also in our heart. Cause it to find good ground, suitable to bring forth not only natural life, but spiritual life. And that we might grow up to be children of the Most High and bring honor, glory, and majesty to our Father and to the Son. Holy Spirit, help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated all over the church. Verses 8 through 11, which we read in your hearing, tells about the Shunammite woman and how, seeing the man of God pass by her home often, decided first to cook for him, and then took it upon herself to inquire of her husband to say, let's build for him a small room, add it to our house, so that when the man of God passes by, not only can we bless him by serving him, but that he can rest here for the night, recuperate, recover, and then continue on his journey. And what I want to point out is that this Shunammite woman possess the gift of hospitality. If you've grown up in the church or if you studied on spiritual gifts, this is what you might refer to as the gift of helps. Okay? The gift of helps. The gifts of helps is very simple in that it is what when a person sees a need, they also feel compelled to fill it. That's the gifts of help. They see a need and something begins to stir in them that says, I must do something about this. Okay? It's the gifts of hospitality, the gifts of help. And the Shunammite woman possessed this gift in abundance. Amen? If I were to say anything to the church today, I would encourage you to discover your gift. As you read this story, it was because of her gift that she was blessed. It was because of her gift that put her on the radar of the man of God. It was because of her hospitality that caused the man of God to eat at her table, to stay in her home, and open up his heart and ask of God a blessing for her. Are you following? And that, look, she didn't pray for that. She just operated in her gift. My Bible tells me this, that your gift will make room for you. Not your talent, not who you know, not what you know, not where you live, but your gift will make room for it. Look at somebody and say, discover your gift. 1 Peter 4, 8, 9, and 10 said, above all things, have fervent love for one another. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. Verse 9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Be hospitable. Look, if you're going to do it with an attitude, don't do it. Lord knows, don't do it for me. Don't, if you're going to have a smirk, a frown, a wait, don't do it. Just leave it undone. It'll be better. But if you're going to do it with joy, if you're going to do it with a smile on your face, if you're going to do it because God has prompted you to do it, the Holy Spirit has stirred you to do it, then operate in your gift. Be hospitable one to another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. This is not even in the sermon, but let's work this first. It says, as each one has received a gift. Notice what I encouraged you to do. I didn't say go out and get a gift. I said discover the gift already inside you. And I got witness. I got the word of God to back me up on this. The word of God says, as each one has received the gift. You've got, look at somebody and say, I got a gift. The question now is, have you discovered it? And if you discovered it, are you operating in it? Here it is. Get this. Each one has received the gift. Many, many people miss this part of the verse. Get this. Minister it to one another. Get this. Your gift is not for you. I wish I had a real church. A real church would say amen, Pastor. There it is, Pastor. Now you're in the book. Look, as you receive the gift, look what the text says. Minister it to one another. You have to discover your gift because someone else needs it. The man of God, the prophet of God, needed the Shunammite woman. He needed her gift. He needed her hospitality. Because without her, he would have grown weary. He would have fainted under the pressure. But God stirred up a Shunammite woman, started her operating in her gift. And her gift was not to bless herself. Her gift was to bless others. Are you following me this? All right, that's enough of that. I got to keep going. Here it is. Verses 12 through 14 talk about now having been a blessing to the man of God. Gehazi, his servant, and says, call the Shunammite woman, said, what can we do for her? He said, she has blessed us in abundance. Watch this. She not only blessed the man of God, she blessed the man of God's servant. Are you with me in this? She said, look at all this care you have shown us. She not only blessed Elijah, she blessed Elijah's servant. So now, he says, call her. So I got to do something for her. She's going above and beyond. This is uncalled for to go out of your way this month to build me a small room. So do her, call her. What shall we do? She said, what do you want? You want me to talk to the king on your behalf? Do you want me to talk to the king's captain of his army? What can I do? What shall I do? This is not even in the sermon. It's not even one of my bullet points, but she says, I dwell among my own people. This was the Shunammite's woman humility. The prophet said, I'm getting ready to give you a VIP pass. You name it, it's yours. Even up to the king's throne. He said, I've got access to the king. And if you desire, I will take you in with me. And if not the king, I'd have the second in command. The Shunammite woman said, no, that's not me. That's not what I... Listen what she said. I didn't do it for that. I didn't do it so that I could hang out with you. I didn't do it so I can go with you to the palace. She operated in her gift of hospitality, and she operated in humility. Said, no, I'll stay right here. So that the next time you pass by, I'll make things ready. Are you with me on this? Elijah doesn't know what to do. He said, look, I want to bless her. She won't let me. He says, listen, he calls his servant. He said, listen, G, I'm preaching. Y'all missed it. Everyone else called him Gehazi. Elijah just called him G for short. He said, hey, G, come here. What are we going to do? I mean, we cannot let this kindness go unrepaid. G said, well, I don't want to speak out of turn, but she has no son and her husband is old. She said she didn't want anything. Gehazi said, she's barren and got an old husband. Meaning ain't nothing happening after 6 p.m. I wish I had a real church. I'd preach. This is what Jesus said, I'm not getting spiritual. I'm not getting sanctified. He said, I'm telling it the way it is. This woman is barren and she's married to an old. Now, he was a good husband. But this is in your Bible. I don't know why y'all looking at me like I'm making this stuff. This is in your Bible. Gehazi said she's barren and her husband's old. Listen, this speaks to the Shunammite's woman's hopelessness. Anytime you deal with hope, hope always deals with the future. You never hope for something you already have. Hope always deal with the future. And if you were to look at this Shunammite woman's future, it was bleak. She was a woman with no son. She was married to a man that was beyond childbearing age. And while her present may have seemed admirable or desirable, she lived with a hopeless future every day. No son. Husband closer to dying than he is to living. And if my husband's dying, if I have no son, who will fend for me? And I know we live in the era of women's rights and women's liberation, but that's not the way it was then. If you didn't have a man to stand and represent you as a woman, look at somebody and say, oh, she was hopeless. That's what she was dealing with. She was dealing with a sense of hope. Her future, she didn't have one. She was literally counting the days. She said, if my husband dies, it's a wrap. There's nothing else going on here. And so she, Gehazi just tells it the way he is. And as a result, verse 15, Elisha says, call her. Call her and come to me. Now, yeah, thank you, Holy Spirit. He said, I know what I'm going to tell her. He said that this time next year, you shall embrace a son. The Shunammite woman falls back, staggers at the promise of, wait, man of God. No. Look, I didn't ask you for anything. Listen what she says. She says, look, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. She told the prophet, listen, don't get my hope up. I've already resigned myself to the fact that my future is hopeless. I'm barren. My husband's old. I've already accepted that's the way my story is going to end. And don't you, man of God, try to change it by making promises you cannot keep. Watch this. And especially one like that. I wish I had women in here. Women would help me put this sermon over. Right? Don't lie. Don't stir up hope in me. I've already just come to grips. This is the way it is, and this is the way it's going to end. This is the way my life's going to play out. I accept it. Don't you go and change that. Don't you go telling lies and getting my hope up. Do I have any witnesses in my church today? But I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God does not lie. And I got a witness to prove it. Numbers 23 and 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he a son of man that he should repent. Has he not spoken it? Shall he not bring it to pass? Look at somebody tell him, God, don't lie. If God said it, he's going to do it. If God's spoken it, he'll bring it to pass. Oh, my goodness. Here it is. I got to keep moving. Here it is, verse 17 and 20. Look at it. We read it already. The woman conceived, bore a son. Verse 18, then the child, the son, started growing old. Said, then it happened one day that the son went out to see his father and the reapers in the field. And while he was there, he cried out to his father and said, my head, my head, my head. Obviously crying out in pain. Obviously crying out because he was being afflicted. Crying out because he was suffering discomfort, not only in his body, but in his head. So the father does what every father does. Take him to his mama. Anything a father can't fix, he says, take him to his mama. So the servants come. Take him to his mama. Look what the Shunammite woman does. She begins to nurse him on her lap. I remember growing up, my nana used to do it all the time. The old women had a way they'd sit you on the lap, and then they just start patting their foot. And that little rhythm would just calm you right down. It seemed like it would fix just about anything. You go there all fussing and out of whack and crazy. Your nana gets you and just start, get that foot going. Next thing you know, you just start, then she start rubbing your head. Next thing you know, you calming down. Next thing you know, you're settling down. Next thing you know, you're out running back out playing with everybody else. But unfortunately for the Shunammite woman, that's not how it happened. She kept her son until noonday, and at noon, he didn't recover, but he died. This speaks to the woman's helplessness. She did everything she could do to help him recover, and none of it worked. And the Shunammite woman was now helpless. Are you hearing me today? Never wanted a son. God gave her one. Gave her one from a man past childbearing age. Gave her one to give her a future, to give her a hope. Now look how the story changes. She went from having no hope for her future to now having great hope for her future. But she started with a good current situation, but now her present situation has gone from good to bad. The very thing God has blessed me with, he has now taken away. Now God blesses her and changes her future with a son. But then it all comes crashing down and the son dies. And the Shunammite woman is left feeling helpless about her present situation. Is there anyone here today, whether in the sanctuary or joining us virtually, who feels helpless about your current situation? It may not be the death of a son. It may be the death of another loved one. It may be the death of a job, a death of a career, a death of a relationship, a death of a hope, a death of a dream, a death of a business. But you went from having hope to now feeling helpless. That's who this message is. Listen, if you're not experiencing helplessness, this message may not be for you. Because the Shunammite woman was now dealing with a season of helplessness. And so what do you do when God blesses you and then takes the blessing back? What do you do when you encounter a situation and it leaves you feeling helpless? Look what the Shunammite woman does. She says she went up and laid the son on the bed of the man of God. Shut the door and went out. Then she said she called to her husband, "Send me a young man and one of the donkeys because I'm going to see the man of God." This is what you do when encountering a helpless situation. Look at somebody and say, "Go to God. Go to God." He's the only one that can change your situation. He's the only one who can turn it around. The Shunammite woman didn't go to her husband. She told her husband, "It is well." She never told the servant, "Why, we got to go fast." She said, "Take me to the man of God." Listen what the psalmist says. Psalms 121. He says, "I will lift my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help." Look at somebody and say, "My help." Come on, use your good preaching voice. "My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." I may be helpless. I may be hopeless. But I serve a God who is able to do abundantly. And oh, help me, help me, help me. Just look at somebody and tell them it's well. Yeah, that's the testimony of someone with faith. Even when hell is breaking out, even when you're encountering death, destruction, turmoil everywhere, still my testimony is that it's well. It's well because I believe God is not going to let it in like this. I don't believe God is going to take back his promise. I don't believe
somebody and just tell them as well. Yeah, as well. If you really knew my story, you would know it's not well. If you really knew my secret, you would know it's not good. But thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto our Savior who has plans to bless you, to prosper you, to do you good. He will. He will bring you out. Somebody shout yes. There it is. Let me get out of this sermon. So the Shunammite woman, you got it there. We've already read it. She comes to the man of God. She says, look, he sends Gehazi, go and greet her. Here comes our, this is our friend. This is the woman who blesses us. Said, tell me how she doing. How are you doing? How's your husband doing? How's your family doing? Her report stays the same. It is still well. Look at somebody and say, it's all good. Yeah, it's all good because all things work together for what? I wish I had a real church. Here it is. Here it is. Let's get to the crux of it. I got to finish. She comes. She grabs hold of the man of God. Verse 28. Did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? What do you do when God goes back on his promise? What do you do when God blesses you with a gift and then seemingly takes it away? Look at someone and tell them you got to trust in him still. Even in the uncertainties of life. Look at someone and say, trust in them still. Even in the confusion of life. Do I got any witnesses? How many know life can get confusing, can be confusing at times? But you've got to learn to trust him, even through the contradictions of life. The world is saying no, but God still says yes. The world is saying death, but God promises life. The doctors say it can't be done, but God says, trust me, I'll prove. Look at somebody, just tell him, hang in there. He's about to make good on his promise. Here it is. You got the story. So she goes, brings the man of God. He goes to his chamber. There's the boy. He performs holy CPR. I wish I had a real church, Aaron. Not CPR that you learned in training. Look at all these EMTs and nurses and doctors out here. That ain't the CPR I'm talking about. The man of God got instructions from the Spirit of God. He said, eye to eye, mouth to mouth, hand to hand, your body to his body. God said, I'm about to make a transfer. I'm about to change this young man's life. And I need someone who can do spiritual CPR. Somebody shout yes. Here it is. Here it is. You got the story. Get this, I'm out of time. So the son recovers and comes back to life. Get this. Where am I at? 37. There, here it is. This is it. I could preach that stuff in the middle, but I'm out of time. Here it is. The boy comes back to life. Elijah says, go get the Shunammite woman. God blessed her because of her hospitality. In spite of her great hospitality, she still had a hopeless future. God blesses her future by giving her a son. The joy, her hope, her future. But then seemingly, unexpectedly, shockingly so, the son dies. So now she's gone from hopelessness to helplessness. But because she held on. Come on, this is the good part of the sermon here. Because she kept her faith. Because she believed in the promises of God, which are yes and amen. She went to the man of God, said, I'm not leaving you till you come back to my house. I know it's not time yet. I know it's not a new moon. I know it's not a Sabbath. But I got an emergency. And I need to hear from God right now. Is there anybody here who's ever experienced an emergency? I can't wait till Sunday. I can't wait for the deacons. I can't wait for the pastor. I got an emergency, and I got to get to God right now, right now, right now. Here it is, here it is. Just get this, I'm finished. The voice comes back to life. Gehazi, bring her in. Get this, 37. So she went in. Fell at his feet, bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son. She's got a dead son upstairs. She's got the man of God on 911. Husband doesn't know what's going on. Servants unaware of what's happening. She's got a dead son. Lost her hope again. And she's waiting in the living room. The man of God says, come on up now. She comes up. Watch this. Sees her son alive. This is why I need women to help me preach this. I'm not a woman, but I know enough women. If there's ever a time when a woman's child recovers, the woman's first instinct is always to go to the child. When they brought her the first time, it was her maternal instinct that sat him on her lap. It's her maternal instinct to go and hug them. It's a woman's maternal instinct to go and kiss them. It's a woman's maternal instinct to start touching and feeling, making sure everything's okay. But the Shunammite woman, not only did she have maternal instincts, she had spiritual instincts. And upon seeing her dead son brought back to life, having received her reward once again, she told her son, wait 1 minute. Let me first give God some kind, any kind of praise. I'll hug you later. I'll pick you up in a minute. But first, let me give the Lord a praise right now. Somebody give the Lord a praise. Look at somebody and say, get it back. Look at somebody and say, get it back. God told David, pursue and recover all, everything they stole, everything you lost, everything you gave up, everything you had to do without. God says, you shall recover all. Give him a praise. Khalil, Khalil, maybe y'all never lost nothing. Maybe you had never had anything given, then taken back. But for all of us who knows what it's like to live with hopelessness, to all of us who knows what it's like to experience helplessness, to all of us who knows what it's like for God to take it back, give God some kind, any kind of praise. Get it back. Get it back. Go into the enemy's camp. Take back, snatch it back, grab it back, everything you ever lost, God is giving it back. Yes, I got to get it back. He never meant for me to lose it. He never meant for me not to have it. I just got to trust him until he gives it back. Give it back, God. Give it back, Jesus. Give it back. Give it. The Shunammite woman's story is more relevant today than it ever has been. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're from. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you will have seasons of hopelessness. If you live long enough, you will experience seasons of helplessness. You live long enough, you will experience death in one form or another. Death of a marriage. Death of a parent-child relationship. Death of a career. Death of a dream. Death of a... Have your way, Holy Ghost. You live long enough. Look, that's not me telling you. Life will tell you. There are seasons of hopelessness. Seasons of helplessness. But don't let it quench your gift. Your gift will bring you out. That same room she built for the man of God turned into the operating room for her own son. Through her gift, she constructed the room, the bed, the lamp, the desk, everything needed to bring her son back to life. And I'm just here to tell you what God told David and what he proved to the Shunammite woman. Keep working your gift. Because God said, you shall recover all. I'm going to give you your future back. I'm going to turn your present situation around. I'm going to bless your husband. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your son. I'm going to bless your seed. Oh, because God is not a man who should lie. Neither is he a son of man that he ever has to repent or say, I'm sorry for what I've done. I've got plans to prosper you. I've got plans to bless you. I have a reward waiting for you. You got to hold on. Where's your pillow? To get through seasons of hopelessness, seasons of helplessness, you're going to need that pillow to weather the storms of life. The vicissitudes of this human experience. You just got to learn to hang in there. Trust the word of God. Trust the spirit of God. Hope only in the Son of God. I'm telling you. I'm telling you now. He's going to turn it around. If you can just hang in there. If you can just keep operating in your gift. If you can just stay humble. I'm telling you, breakthrough is on the way. And if at first you don't succeed, Elijah was confident. He told Gehazi, take my staff. I don't have to go. Take my staff. Take the symbol of God's authority in my life. But the staff didn't work. But she didn't give up. When Gehazi came back with the report, she didn't lose heart. She said, no, God's going to make good on his promise. I don't believe he blessed me just to turn around and curse me. But I believe he blessed me so that I could have a hope, so that I could have a future. So that I could have a family. So that I could have a marriage. I'm not giving that up. Because of her faith, she received her reward. Her reward was happiness. Joy unspeakable. My son who was once dead is now alive. And everything I lost, God has given back to me. Is the Shunammite woman's story your story? Is the Holy Spirit touching something inside of you that causes you to relate to understand, have some empathy for this Shunammite woman and what she went through. My only job here today is simply to tell you, if he did it for her, he will. I wish I had a witness. I wish I just had one. He will do it for you. Won't you come to Jesus now? Won't you give your life to Christ now? He's the only one that can end seasons of hopelessness. He's the only one able to eradicate the seasons of helplessness that we all experience. He says, the day you hear my voice, whether you're here in the sanctuary, whether you're listening online, today you've heard the voice of the Lord loud and clear. What hinders you? What hinders you today? What hinders you right now? Won't you come to Jesus? Why don't you accept his gift of forgiveness and eternal life? Why don't you allow him to turn your situation around? If you're out there this Sunday morning, over the internet, here in the sanctuary, upstairs in the overflow, come to Jesus. Come now. Let the Shunammite woman be a beacon and an example to you. He loves you. He died for you. Shed his blood for you. So that he can bless you and give you a hope, give you a future. Accept him as your personal Savior. Accept him as Lord of your life. And he will certainly bring you out. God bless you, Taylor. Amen. 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 For those of you who are watching this over the internet, either because you happen to stumble on this website or because someone said, hey, go take a look at this sermon at TaylorTabernacle.com, and you're wondering why you hear a message about hopelessness, that people are so joyous, and you're wondering about salvation, and you want somebody to pray for you, and you want to talk to a minister or a deacon about salvation, go to TaylorTabernacle.com. There's a prayer button. There's a seeking membership button. There's also a phone number, 215-748-4578. Reach out to us, and we will reach out to you. We will help you. We will show you where in God's word you can go to have that hopelessness turned back into hope and evolve into full trust in the Lord. Amen. 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 And as I just mentioned a moment ago, and I want to make sure I make clear now, we are still accepting new members. Either those who attend and want to join the church, or those who want to do it online. We have a way online to take you through the new members process. So if you're interested, reach out to us, and we will meet you and help you. Amen? Amen. So with that, I want to move on to the next part of our service, which is the giving part. Amen? It's offering time. Amen. And there are three ways that you can give your offering.
First, you can give it by text message, and you can text the code Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, 61, to the phone number 73256. That's 73256 is the number, and it's just Taylor 61. You will receive a link and instructions. And now we have an option in there where you can give for the pastor or the speaker's offering. So you can not only give to the church, but you can give to the speaker of the hour as well. Next, you can give through our website. Again, taylortabernacle.com. There is a giving button, and you can follow that, follow the instructions. It'll show you how to give that way online. Finally, actually not finally, because you can also give if you're here in the sanctuary. But finally, as far as if you're remote, you can give via U.S. mail. You can send a check or a money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, P.A. 19139. Amen. And also, for those that are in the sanctuary, there are envelopes that have been placed on each row. There are baskets. As at the end of service, we ask that you would exit out the side, and you can drop either your speaker's offering or your church offering right there in one of those baskets. Amen. Now I want to come to announcements, and there, we're in the latter part of the month, so there's fewer announcements. First, today we were supposed to have in the backyard with the harvest and the garden, which looks wonderful, but God has decided to rain on his backyard so it'll grow even more. Amen? But as a result, this Sunday we're going to move it. I don't know if we're moving it to next Sunday or in 2 weeks. We'll give you the information on that. But we're no longer doing that today. But the next time it's scheduled, let's get the young folks out here so they can see how God is what? The seed has been planted and how it's growing out of the earth. Amen? Next, on Wednesday nights, we have prayer and Bible study. Amen? Our pastor has been leading us through that prayer and Bible study. Wednesday nights. You reach out to us, we'll give you the Google link. You can come in and watch as part of a Google meeting. Amen? Our pastor's been teaching us about faith. That faith that flows from trusting in the Lord. Amen? Amen. Finally, if you have a prayer request, as I mentioned earlier, you can reach out to our church website, www.taylortabernacle.com. Go to our prayer request page. Amen? Amen. With that, I'm going to call out our pastor again to give our benediction. Amen.
If you're here in the sanctuary, if you're joining us online, if you're upstairs in the overflow, shall we all stand everywhere? God has once again proven himself faithful. We came hungry, we came thirsty. And God has once again satisfied the longing of our hearts. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name, and blessed is the womb of the Virgin Mary, who gave birth to our Lord and to our Savior, the one called Jesus of Nazareth. And we thank you for the hope that we now have, hope not only in this life, but hope in the life that is to come. Our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is in his death. Our hope is in his resurrection. And our hope is in his ascension back on high, where he sits even now, making intercession on our behalf. But our hope is for that day when the Father shall release him and allow him to come back to this world to gather all those that put their hope, their trust, their confidence in him, those that have been washed in the blood, filled with his Spirit, sanctified by and through his word, and we shall all be caught up to meet him. Good God, help me. One day, not far from now, we'll be caught up to meet him. And we'll go back to glory with him.
to live and reign for 1,000 years. So, Father, go with us. Stand by us. Fight for us. Stand up strong in the life of the believer everywhere. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name for his sake and his glory alone. And all of God's people said amen. Amen. Amen again. Come on, give God the best praise. Come on, close out the service. Give God your best praise. Come on, close it out by giving him your best praise. Come on, Shabbat him. Come on, give him glory. Come on, shout hallelujah to his name. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our soon coming Savior.